Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. We are loaded up, and I have to apologize about a lie I told on Twitter earlier. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Ways to get in touch with us on Twitter at @2birds1stone. If you want to harass Colton, you want to get a hold of me, Schmidt underscore radio, or find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity. Can do that. Email, if you like, Chris at HailVarsity.com. So the lie I told, I thought things were locked and loaded in with our favorite Carolina Panther, Jeremiah Searles. J-Man had something come up. Totally get it. He will be with us in the near future. So no Searles today. I am very saddened by that, but I'm very excited. We'll talk again soon sometime. Charlie McBride, 1 hour from now. It's a Thursday with Charlie because Monday was vacation slash holiday. Tuesday, someone was painting his house and hacking him off. And so today worked. We'll talk with Coach McBride at 5. Brandon Vogel is 30 minutes away. We'll run down Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great stuff from the Hail Varsity crew as the photo shoots continue. That's exciting. We'll dive into some NBA with game one of the finals tonight. And we'll chew on, if begrudgingly, because there's a lot of anti-LeBron out there, which I get, as Colton's raising both hands, but if begrudgingly you can really dislike, but maybe you respect this Cleveland team. I respect what T. Lou's done, specifically after seeing his sit down with Rachel Nichols, what guy went through. So we'll get into some of that. We'll get things started off, though, with some Nebraska football news. So yesterday you had the contract stuff that was out, we touched on, we told you about, and how things were laid out from a bonus structure standpoint. Today, a little while ago, you found out, or maybe you don't know, but Nebraska's game times have been announced. That is good. Not all, but many have been announced. And what you have to start off the 2018 season, what you have to start off the Scott Frost era is a 7 o'clock kick. 7 o'clock, that's big time, September 1st against the Fighting Terry Bowdens and Akron. Akron comes to town. The last time Akron played in Lincoln, Nebraska won a national championship. Joel Makovica maimed many linebackers, went plow horse on many Akron players en route to a monster touchdown. Remember it like it was yesterday. So you have a couple of TBAs from a network standpoint, but Fox is picking this up. Fox is picking up Nebraska Akron in prime freaking time. And, you know, many think that going 14-0 in year two at Central Florida is the work of a saint and the works of miracles. Many, 14, right? Well, the fact that Fox is going to put Nebraska on at 7 o'clock against Akron, and I know it's a loaded opening weekend of college football, but the buzz is real, all right? It's not just a Nebraska thing. Fox looked at this and said, okay, we don't have the Let's go get Nebraska. Let's get Scott Frost. It's going to move the meter. The nation's interested in seeing this story of Scott Frost returning home to resurrect the program. Yeah, it's Akron. Yeah, it's a Bowden. Wonderful. But you know what? You'll take it. How many primetime games did you get last year? I mean, you got Iowa, Nebraska. Was Ohio State, Nebraska on ABC?
That was back. They were back-to-back night games, but I don't remember what they were shown on.
Okay.
But I think at least one of Wisconsin was
big time.
Yeah.
But you had my point here is Nebraska was moved to the Big Ten network a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's because it was a struggling program that was just bad. As the year went on, I mean, Nebraska, Penn State, that thing should never, ever, ever be exiled. And it's both programs' responsibility. It should never be exiled to the Big Ten. And look, the Big Ten's an awesome network. We love the people that come on. They're very talented. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying if you're Nebraska and you got a matchup with Penn State, that thing's ABC. That's old school. That's throwback. That stands the test of time. And it was put on the Big Ten network last year because Nebraska was a 4-win football team. Already in year one, whether Nebraska exceeds the 6-win projection or the 3-conference win projection we talked about yesterday, you've got to win. Not on the field, but in the hearts and minds battle of people in TV and promotion. And as much as it's going to be conditioning and summer workouts and chemistry and leadership and adapting the scheme and finding quarterbacks and getting a center and getting a defense that'll go get the football and finding corners that will pick it off, all of those things, you've already won with a perception that, okay, there's some excitement. This is Scott Frost. Look what he did. You have Akron on Fox against Nebraska. You'll take it. You'll run with it. It's money for you if you're Nebraska or Akron. If you're Fox, what are you doing? Find something else within the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I mean it.
Yeah.
On the opening weekend, a Saturday night, your pick is Nebraska-Akron. Whatever. You'll take it. Don't complain about it if you're a Nebraska fan. But if you're Fox, whatever. Colorado, Nebraska, it'll be on ABC. That's where that time slot, man, you just smile about it. It isn't Black Friday. But, man, it feels right seeing Nebraska, Colorado, 2:30 ABC. BTN's going to have Troy. That's an 11 o'clock game, so get your Bloody Marys ready. Nebraska, Purdue, 2:30 or 3, so that likely screams Fox. And we'll see where Nebraska's at. We'll see where Purdue's at. But Nebraska will have that Purdue ball game right after Michigan and right after Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty interesting three-game stretch. We'll get into some of the toughest three-game stretches in college football coming up. Northwestern's TBA, that could be ESPN, could be the Deuce, it could be BTN. But it's going to be a Bloody Mary time in Evanston on October 13th. And then Iowa will be an 11 o'clock game to get you rolling on Black Friday once you get back from getting your Beats by Dre at 80% off at whatever store you go to. It'll be time for Iowa and Nebraska on Fox. So that's good stuff. I'm in the process of knocking out the latest Twitter craze, and this is good stuff. All-time favorite player each sport, copy, paste, edit, go. So I am up to college football. I will get to the NFL. I will get to the NBA. And Colton, you fill one of these out too.
I haven't tweeted yet, but I think I may have it complete.
You're done? Okay.
I think so.
Okay. So check that out on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at @Schmidt_radio. Copy, paste, fill it out. Maybe you've done it already today. 466-377-6800-825-5865 can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. So the good news here is you rattled off six games. You know that you're on Fox or ABC, or at least the way the times are lining up, it's likely going to be Fox or FS1. Mm-hmm. And you only have one Big Ten network game, and that's Troy. And you have, while you have three 11 o'clock games, it could work out. And 11 o'clock games aren't going to be a thing of the past. And what I mean by that, you've had some just brutally sluggish starts at 11 o'clock for the last, God, I...
Northern Illinois.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not talking Riley era, I'm saying the Bo era as yeah. well. You had some rough 11 o'clock starts. And Nebraska's been practicing in the morning, getting up, getting going, getting weights done. Kind of getting your day started out that way. I get it. I think that'll be an answer. That'll be interesting to see how well they've adjusted with this kickoff time, based on the practice time and based on what they're doing. So, good news and notes there for Nebraska and kickoff times. You know, and as the buildup occurs, and you're going to have Wisconsin on the docket, and you're going to have Ohio State on the docket. You're going to have the Iowa game at 11. You know that, and you know you're going to have Northwestern at 11 o'clock, and you're going to have Purdue. But what happens with Colorado will determine what network and where you're at for Michigan, and what you do against Michigan, not whether you win or lose, but how well you play that game, will determine a lot of what's next with your Wisconsin game, what happens with your Sparty game, what's going to happen with your Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised if your Nebraska and Ohio State, if it ends up on one of the big three, don't be surprised that that's not an 11 o'clock. Just based on how the last several games against Ohio State have gone, mm-hmm. you've been given your opportunity in primetime to show how you can do, and it's gone horribly wrong. Different coach, different team, different mentality, mm-hmm. but just from a stereotype right now, folks aren't going to be knocking on that door.
Hey, well, and the tough part is you know, they make these TV schedules once you're into the season, like 3 weeks in advance almost, they kind of get their pick. Mm-hmm. So if the first 3 weeks are good, or, you know, first 5 or 6 weeks are good, they may look at Ohio State and Wisconsin and try to slate it later. But like you said, based on recent past, don't be surprised if they're 2:30 games. Maybe one of them's a night game, but probably Wisconsin, just because it could be for the West. You don't, mm-hmm. you never know. But I haven't looked at what a lot of the first week games are, but for like Fox taking Nebraska Akron, they may just not have
another option.
They may not, and it may be one of those.
And I'm not hating.
No, again, I'm glad it's on.
You got to be jacked as a Nebraska right. fan, and as a Mac fan. If you're a Mac fan, Maction.
And the tough part is you know, the big games usually go to, you know, ESPN as
proven
far
teams
as,
that are top 10 projections, yeah. playoff teams.
Or they'll put one on ABC, they'll do the Dallas game, or, you know, so mm-hmm. it's not a surprise that Fox, you know, it's something people want to watch, so they're going to get the viewership for it. It's not like they're going to lose money on it. But
no, but the thing is, I mean, am I being snooty about this, or do you feel that way too, that Fox is... They've done NFL for years. They've done baseball for years. They've done both of those broadcasts at a super high level. I think their talent level is good, obviously, with the guys calling games. But they're still new to football.
Yeah.
They're still really new to football.
Especially with, like, the Fox Sports. They just getting...
Them and FS1. I mean, think about this. FS1 is... They preempted Washington-Stanford Week 2 on a Friday. You missed the first half for NASCAR truck racing.
Yep.
Okay, they just don't get college football.
Yeah, and that's the tough part too, is, you know,
they're trying.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason Fox is showing the Nebraska Akron game is A, to show that,
hey,
they can
we
do
get
football.
It now. Scott Frost is impressive. He's moving the needle.
And then on top of that, also, since they're just starting to kind of get Big Ten rights, I think they're trying to show that Fox owns
51%. So they're going to have them.
Yeah.
But they were the ones that had this brilliant freaking idea too about let's do some Friday night games. The Pac-12 loves it. I mean, that wasn't the Big Ten raising their hand asking for Friday night games as much as the TV folks were maybe pushing it. We'll see if they're better put together. I want to remind you about your friends at AgriGold. 80 years, they've been doing things the AgriGold way over the decades. Together, we've built a brand that's truly different because of our knowledge, different because of our passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer. Our true partners, providing customers with the very best seed, always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit agrigold.com. Brandon Vogel, good stuff on the hot reads this morning with the Nebraska preseason projections. In some of the college football mags, the Hale Varsity Yearbook is coming out in June. I have seen the cover. I have taken a blood oath and I'm sworn to secrecy, but it's awesome. We'll talk to Vogues, get his take on several things around the world of college football, and I want to get his take on something Stuart Mandel was touching on, and that is just how you're looking at the Big Ten with the divisions, the lopsided misbalance of it. And you remember legends and leaders. I don't say you go back to the name, but maybe you go back to the division setup. Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity, next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to be back. Less than an hour away, it's Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on a Thursday because of the holiday. We'll get into some NBA, some thoughts on the kickoff times, and the fact that Nebraska is going to open up the 2018 season on Fox at 7 under the lights at Memorial Stadium. Bit of a shock that that was picked up by Fox, but good on Nebraska. And I'm sure it's the Bowden-Frost matchup that pushed it over the edge. We welcome in Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. What do you know? What's your takeaway here that six games have already been kind of earmarked for not bad? I know there's 3:11 o'clocks, but it could work out to be ESPN2. You've got that familiar 2:30 Nebraska-Colorado. I know there's a tear running down your cheek for that out of gratitude because of, well, it's old times. It brings back those wonderful memories of 2:30 Nebraska-Colorado. And you're not on BTN that much. Now, that's not a shot at BTN. It just means that the profile might be a bit higher.
Yeah, it does. There's a little bit of, national buzz around Nebraska for a team coming off the 4-8 season. We all know why that's the case. that first one, you know, I looked at that one. I said, "Oh, that's going to be a night game." Scott Frost's first game in Lincoln. That'll be one that's in prime time. I did not expect to see a game against Akron on Fox. So that's about as big an opening as you can hope for, I think, based on what we think we know about those teams. And then from there, you got a pretty good mix. You know, you got a couple of those 11 a.m.s, which if the Huskers get things up and rolling, you would hope that those 11 a.m. starts, particularly in non-conference, become a better than advantage when you're the home team.
Well, it's an advantage, and we touched on this before break. I think you're going to see a new and different 11 o'clock Nebraska team. Is that a fair projection?
It should be if things go according to plan. We know that Nebraska immediately flipped that switch to being more of a quote unquote morning team, at least in terms of practice. You know, that's something that came from Chip Kelly's days at Oregon and a little bit of the sports science side of things, just looking at rhythms and when players perform the best, based on all of the research that's out there on that. There's a strong argument for getting up and getting ready to go in the morning, and that could potentially help Nebraska down the road for when they do get those 11 a.m. games, which are something of a Big Ten tradition.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, I know you and I, growing up, loved grabbing the preseason magazines. The Athlon, a staple. Time to go to the grocery store once a year with mom, and you go get the Athlon. Now, folks, go to the grocery store once a year with mom or dad and get the Hail Varsity yearbook. But and that's awesome. But the three that are out right now have Nebraska pegged. One has them fourth, two have them fifth, and all of them have them behind Purdue. Did you ever thought you'd see a day where Nebraska's pegged behind Purdue? With all due respect to Purdue, and as nice as Brahm is and as good as 7-6 looks compared to 4-8, I'm having a hard time with it. Brad Edwards picked Purdue and Northwestern as the two swing games for Nebraska to exceed that 5.56-ish number when it comes to win total. I'm with him on those two games, but I just – call me stupid here. It's almost June. I think Nebraska's a better program still than Northwestern and Purdue. I know I'm out on a limb here, but and I'm preaching to the choir, but I believe they're still better despite their struggles.
Well, I agree with Brad Edwards as well. Those are the sorts of games that are going to sort of – look, Nebraska's going to get better. They're going to be better in 2018 than they were in 2017. There's no doubt in my mind. That's not a bold claim whatsoever. Got a better offense, should have better defense, and they've got better coaches. That part of it's easy enough to understand. But what that looks like from a wins and losses perspective means winning some of those games, and I would put Purdue – at Northwestern, which has traditionally been a strong game, no matter where it's played, since the Huskers have been in the Big Ten when they faced the Wildcats, and also a team like Minnesota, which is a little bit further down the pecking order, didn't have the big first year that Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers had, but that's another home game where you can't just pencil it in. It's one of those that you got to go out and win, and should be favored to do. So games like that. If you can win all of those, you know, when you start to look at this 2018 season from a wide view, look at it as a whole, if you win those sorts of games, then you're basically on a free roll for the big ones, for the trip to Michigan or Wisconsin or Ohio State or Iowa, even late in the year. You know, that Iowa one looks really intriguing based on what I think Nebraska can do. Like right now, Iowa is a better team. They've been a better team than Nebraska, and they are a deserved favorite in that. But by the time you get to game 12, by the time Nebraska's played 11 games under Scott Frost, well, let's see where they're at. You know, they might be a drastically better program there than even the most optimistic sort of projections are for them here in. Well, almost June.
No, that's just it, man. I think we're on the same page with the track record of Frost. There's proof that his teams do get better, and no matter what 18 ends up being, you'll see them improve. And it's been a long time since you've seen a Nebraska team get better, not get worse. And that's, I think, the excitement level. I mean, Iowa's totally beatable. We'll ask Coach McBride if Wisconsin's beatable. They are loaded. Of course, everyone's beatable, but, you know, what's the likelihood of it? Brandon Vogel, a couple more minutes with us here. HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, talked to Derek Peterson yesterday. He was at the photo shoot as things getting finalized for the yearbook with Hail Varsity. What have you been able to glean from just your communication with how that's going, because you're putting it together with the great folks at Hail Varsity, a guy that I'm interested in reference to the yearbook and just coverage and the defense is going to be Luke Gifford. He is a hometown kid. He's done I'm going to put weight on and move from safety to linebacker. What kind of impact do you think he has to have this year for Nebraska's defense to be better than traditionally a year one defense can be?
Well, over the first half of Nebraska's season, when Gifford was available, he was Nebraska's best defender, I think. And I'm far from alone in thinking that. He was playing really, really well. It was clear that he had emerged as a leader during a season when Nebraska was trying to transition defensively, and it was a struggle in a lot of areas. So I think the hope for him is that he can pick back up and be that sort of guy again in 2018. So getting him back and ready to go for summer workouts and then fall camp is huge. You know, Derek has been up there with the players and things like that, and posted a really good update on JoJo Doman on the website. So if you're listening, you can check out HailVarsity.com for that. But he's another one. You know, Nebraska's thin on proven options in the secondary, but we can all remember that Doman, if he doesn't get hurt, everyone assumed he was the starter last August at safety over some players who have played a lot of football. So what do you do with a guy like that who's coming back? So there are a couple of those areas where I think Nebraska has a chance to be better than we've assumed they're going to be on paper basically all spring, and that will continue into the summer.
Do you see them, as thin as they are at corner, rolling some of those versatile safeties up to play corner, either the young kids or guys they think are athletic enough to do it? How do you think they use the surplus of safety options?
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because I think you'll probably see some young corners get a chance first. And if there's nobody in that group that seems ready to challenge and push the established guys Nebraska has at that position, well, then maybe you start looking at some position changes or just kind of rolling people through. A lot of it comes down to how much nickel are they going to play and who's that nickel back, and things can kind of fall in from there. And I think Nebraska's got, you know, a number of options, and it remains to be seen just sort of, okay, we know what the corners look like in last year's scheme. It wasn't what any Husker fan kind of wanted to see just in terms of production or aggressiveness. Well, we know the aggressiveness is going to be there now. So who does that fit on this roster? And it's tough to have a great gauge on that just coming out of spring.
Vogues, have you participated yet in the favorite players Twitter setup? I mean, have you done that yet?
I haven't yet.
You know, where you copy paste and go down the list: favorite wrestler, favorite golfer, NHL, NBA, MLB, college football. Who's your favorite college football player ever?
Ever. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's a tough one. The one that immediately comes to mind, and I'm gonna go non-Husker version.
That's what
here,
I did.
But I was always enamored with Hartley Dykes, Oklahoma State wide receiver. I don't remember quite why.
Oh, he had a giant heart on his towel, covered his whole backside.
That was part of it. He was kind of a do-everything guy. You know, he was an NFL guy.
He was a millionaire before he went to the NFL.
Maybe, allegedly. And he was part of some of those really fun Oklahoma State teams that, of course, had Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas. And when you got a name like Hartley Dykes, that's just kind of perfect for sort of the I guess, outlaw, loosely defined outlaw sort of program that Oklahoma State was at the time.
You know what, man? I remember that team. That was fun. My favorite, I put Barry Sanders down. That 88 Oklahoma State team was a party. They were a good time. I like that. That's a good call. That's a really good call. Hartley Dykes put four teams on probation. All right? He put four teams. He took two of the four off TV for 2 years, for God's sake. He was the best defense in the Southwestern Conference. He played wideout. So, whatever. I like them. Brandon Vogel, great stuff. Read his hot reads with HailVarsity.com. Subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER or HailVarsity.com. Premium content and a subscription for you now. Your book comes out in June. Vogues, we'll get caught up on Saturday, but thank you.
All right, thank you.
There he is. Hartley Dykes from downtown. I like it. We'll go through the list here. Colton's got his done. We'll get into some more college football with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
25 minutes away, it is Charlie McBride, a Monday with Charlie on Thursday. Brandon Vogel nailing it. Asked him his favorite college football player, because you got the Twitter survey going on. And I saw it from Kevin Suits, 1011. We love Suitsy. And I had to play along where you copy, you paste, you fill out, and you get it knocked out. So without further ado, and we'll let you follow Colton on Twitter at @2birds1stone or follow me at @Schmidt_radio or at @HaleVarsity. So Brandon Vogt, I was like, okay, I'm not going to, we didn't have enough time to go down the list of all, but I went a little different here. As much as I loved watching Jordan, I loved Barkley's attitude. I loved Chuck Barkley's just, I'm going to fist fight you. I liked the fact that he tried to murder Bill Laimbeer. And for a time, I liked Bill Laimbeer too. But Detroit wore
bad,
on me.
Yeah, bad boys.
The bad boys wore on me when they didn't shake hands after getting beat by Chicago. Didn't like that. Always liked Barkley. Gracious, gracious loser, if that makes sense. And he just never had enough. Mm-hmm. Dan Marino's always been my NFL guy. That's why I like the Dolphins. It lured me into watching a great movie called Ace Ventura when I was younger. And Snowflake and Dan in the movie still hosed with no Oscar nominees back in the day. College football's Barry Sanders, a Hartley Dykes teammate. Barry Sanders saw him here when I was a kid as he was with Oklahoma State. That team that came in was really good. And Barry Sanders speaks for himself, but his college work was great. College basketball, Larry Johnson. Loved the UNLV teams, the Running Rebs with Tark, Stacey Augmon, Everett Gray. I mean, they did America a favor. They destroyed Christian Laettner by 30 in Denver. All right. So I loved Larry Johnson. Major League Baseball. He smoked Winston's. He wasn't very nice at an autograph show, but I still loved him. Mark Grace, Cubs first baseman. NHL, Patrick Waugh, legendary goalie. Kind of a whack job, but it is what it is as a goalie. Morris Jackson. My uncle, Morris, my favorite boxer in wrestling, or wrestling, is the ultimate warrior. For golf, Happy Gilmore. Fictional, I know, but it's where I'm at. You've got a list put down.
NBA, I had to go Dwayne Wade just because he's kind of who got me into the NBA.
Sure.
NFL, I was torn. So I guess...
You're a big The U guy.
That's the thing.
Right?
That was why
I'm going to guess that you went Clinton impeachment, right?
Well, I went Portis or Sean Taylor.
Dang.
And it's, you know, and that was the tough part with the NFL and the and college football is I could go both with either one.
Right, right.
But then I picked a Husker that I actually got to watch, so I picked Amir.
Okay, that's
just
fair.
Just because Amir was
he's awesome.
Awesome person and just a hell of a guy to watch play football. Basketball... For college basketball, again, I was torn because Marquette's kind of what got me in.
So you were gonna go, you were gonna double dip here.
Well,
Wade?
I was gonna go Wade again because they got him to the Final Four.
Yeah, a triple double in the Elite Eight game.
But between 11 and 13 and Butler's senior year, they made it to the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight. So he was gone by then. So I picking Marquette name out of the hat from the middle 2010s.
I can't name any.
I can name a few.
I can't name anybody aside from Wade, and I know they had Crean. Crean was their coach before he got the Indiana gig.
No, from that team, no. There's not.
Okay.
Not that I can really think of either.
Okay.
So, MLB Griffey Jr.
See, dude, he was awesome, and you saw Griffey Jr. Because he retired what back 06, 07?
Yeah, middle 2000s, I think.
Right, and so you saw. You just saw the Cincinnati and the White Sox years.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of the Mariners
years. See, the Mariner years were phenomenal. They were great. I remember, like, seriously, man, we're talking 13-inch black and white. We had cable. But my little brother and I, sitting at the breakfast table, watching Dan Patrick do highlights of Griffey Jr.'s opener. His first hit was a triple. And then just from there... Incredible plays, robbing people in center field and blasting home runs. They were that was a fun Griffey Jr. is an awesome take. I love that.
And I liked watching Bonds in the middle 2000s Phillies, so I have a lot of favorite players from there too. I got a lot of good baseball years, I guess.
You did. In 2000, and so. Screw it. Everyone's got, you know, turned into a pin cushion.
Yeah.
So it was just let's mash. Sure.
NHL Patrick Marleau or Joe Thornton, someone from the Sharks.
Okay. You're a big Sharks guy.
Right. Boxing, I don't watch a lot of boxing, but Ollie obviously is.
Just from what you've seen and gotten.
Phenomenal. Okay. So wrestling, I wasn't sure if we were going real wrestling or if we were going WWE.
Well, if we're going real wrestling, it's Jordan Burrow.
Yeah, I think everyone can agree with that. But Undertaker or Randy Orton? But Undertaker is who I watched, like grew up watching a lot. So
see, and I checked out around the Ultimate Warrior.
Which is fair. I was a kid when I started watching, so sure, yeah, I mean, stopped when I realized that.
Is there a punt time to stop watching wrestling?
Right before high school, maybe?
Is that okay?
I think
because my
fine.
Brother watches with his kids.
Well, that's one thing.
They have perfected the moves. They're vicious if you don't give them a couple bucks when they come to visit.
Oh man.
One shows up with a steel chair. The other shows up with a tire iron.
Have you ever gone to a WWE event?
I was supposed to as a kid, but I was not respectful to my babysitter. So Papa Bear, who probably didn't buy the tickets anyway, said, we're not going tonight. You weren't a good kid, which is fine. I remember watching Saturday nights, though, the steel cage matches. They were at Pershing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where you had Hulk Hogan doing a steel cage match, I think. I'd watch, but I liked Ric Flair. I loved watching Ric Flair on TBS.
I went to one. I don't remember what year it was. It was probably either 8th grade or 9th grade because my little brother was kind of into it, too. Like I said, it's kind of one of those you grow up into it and then you grow out of it.
And if you're taking somebody younger than you, you can get away with it.
Right.
But that's the best.
And the tickets are free.
That's the best cover you can get.
Right. And so
if you're going with some buddies and you're in your 30s,
probably not.
God love you, but
probably not a good look
because you don't have a girlfriend to call.
But we went when it was at CenturyLink, we went for SmackDown one of those Tuesdays because they film it Tuesday, show it Friday.
Right.
So we watched it live and we got on the big screen and everything. So it was cool. It was a cool event to be at. But and then, like you said, golf. Tiger. That's the
you
only
know
reason
who's
I watched
the biggest,
golf. So.
Biggest wrestling fan. Is Mike Babcock.
Really?
Babbers, but he's like old school, like Junkyard Dog, Big John Studd. Babbers is brilliant at wrestling. And he loved the drama of it. It's okay to like wrestling because Mike Babcock likes wrestling.
There you go. So we have an excuse.
So good stuff. So hit that list on Twitter, @Schmidt_radio, @2birds1stone. You've seen it around. It goes and asks you to copy, paste, edit, and boom, list your favorites of all time. And Ultimate Warrior. It was crushed when I found out that that's not really the original Ultimate Warrior with the face paint on. And this one didn't have to shave his chest. We'll wind down hour one. Coach McBride's 15 minutes away. We'll talk some NBA game one of the finals on the way. Some thoughts on a quarterback Nebraska is going to have in. Good stuff from Greg Smith and Husker recruiting. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. How about Sauter Heyman? How about Rick Heyman? It is great folks at Sauter Heyman this weekend when you find your way to 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Road West in Grand Island. Three locations for you to find pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer is Sauter Heyman. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. 100% sustainable, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Log on today, Sauter Heyman. .com. All right. Baseball tonight, big ball game. Lincoln A's versus the Pirates. Doubleheader this evening. Excited for that. That's very personal. But I want to see this win streak get to six. Is that all right? I have toned it down this year. I have stopped being a helicopter dad. I have stopped. I mean, I still criticize my kid, pile on him, and I do that on the radio a lot. But I do love him. And he stepped his game up. Like when I've shut up, yelling at him from the bleachers, really taunting and heckling him from the outfield when he's out there trying to catch fly ball. He became mentally tough. I am very proud of him. He's not afraid of the ball anymore. And you trank dart him to the neck and you stick him and you prop him up in the batting cage and he goes, you know, Happy Gilmore off his chest with the pitching machine. It's going to toughen it up. He'll stay in the box now.
It's good.
It is. He doesn't need batting gloves or a helmet. They didn't wear helmets back when Babe Ruth played.
No, just a cap.
You make an error, you run 2 miles. You don't win, you walk home. You go 0-for-3, you strike out 4 times, I'm giving your dog away.
That one's fair.
No, this dog sucks. she's had a bad week.
So you're hoping he goes 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Right. A little bit. He could do the family a favor that way. So those are all just ways to motivate and button push. King of motivation and button pushing and getting the best out of his kids. Charlie McBride is coming up in 10 minutes. We'll talk to the coach, Mr. Blackshirt. And if you miss any part of the show, some options for you to take us with. First and foremost, Alexa, just ask for ESPN Lincoln and tell Alexa to play Hail Varsity. And it's right there for you. If you have that set up, you can get the ESPN Lincoln app for your smartphone or Android. And you're absolutely welcome to just check us out on the podcast, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Select portions of the show. Colton and Danny do a great job of posting up there. We'll have some of the greatest hits. A little drive-through rendition of Hail Varsity from Coach McBride, from Brandon Vogel, from some of our thoughts. That'll be on the ESPN Lincoln and the Hail Varsity Twitter a little bit later, trying to give you some thoughts on the show. So can do that. And don't forget to subscribe, 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Get the yearbook as part of your subscription. It'll be out here in June. College Football Bible. Also, the premium content. Greg Smith has a marvelous write-up on a visitor this weekend for the quarterback room that Nebraska's going after. They're after a ton of talented quarterbacks. Greg has some insight on that. That's part of the premium subscription. Bundle it. Save some money. Enjoy. Coach McBride next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt with you. Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. It was a holiday. We're catching up with Coach this week on a Thursday. And, Coach, are you hiding right now from the honey-do list?
That's right. I am. My wife is out giving orders outside to the painter, and I'm hiding from her.
You just had me roll in here. You're like, uh-oh, it's order time. So what's going on with Casa de McBride? What are you guys doing? Painting?
Well, we're painting the outside of the house and painting our deck. We got a deck out here with a wheelchair ramp, and I had a granddaughter that was the March of Dimes girl here in the state of Michigan at one time. She's passed away since, but... Mm. So we're going to keep it because we might need it.
Coach Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I wanted to touch on some of the things that are going on here this summer, and so much energy around the football program with Coach Frost back and his staff. And I wanted to kind of get your take on Nebraska's schedule this year. Are there a couple of swing games? We talked about this yesterday, but are there a couple of games or teams that you think Nebraska, despite this transition, they get wins on a couple of occasions that it could really kind of flip their season or turn their season around, those swing games that are on the schedule?
Well, I think one of them would naturally be Wisconsin.
Okay.
You know, and they can beat Wisconsin. You know, they have all the tough games, you know, away from home, like Ohio State and so on. But I think their toughest games are away. And if you get one early, a win early, it really helps playing away from home, because all of a sudden you lose a couple there and everybody starts on that, well, they can't win away from home and that kind of stuff, you know. And so it's kind of bad. But I do remember all of those places will be jumping, you know. I mean, they'll be good crowds. Now, I've gone away from home to Kansas, say, for example, and most of them people were sitting on the side of the hill up there, you know. I mean, it was like a high school game. I mean, it was really sad. I mean, I felt sorry for them, but, you know, there's not enough noise to make it sound any different in a scrimmage. That's tough. I mean, that's tough on the players, because the enthusiasm of game and being able to show other people what you can do, you know, is probably a pretty good incentive for them. I think that's one of the things that coaches need to talk about, and they'll have different little things that they've learned since I've been around, you know, how to get teams ready and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, I think the weather makes a difference, too, if it's a real hot night or hot day, and, you know, hydrate during the week. And, you know, stuff like that makes a big difference, because I know we went down to Arizona State when they changed the game one time, and at game time in the afternoon, it was like 104 or 5, and our kids had hydrated all week, and they had 6 players leave the game because of cramps and things, and we didn't have any. And it was kind of planned, I think, by them to play us in the heat. It didn't work out, and it didn't work out for a lot of the fans who went down during the game and were carried out. You know, the hydration of the players, especially when you're away or you're hyped up, you know, and things like that. It's a little thing, but right now it's a sensitive thing, just like, you know, just like head injuries and things like that. They're going through that phase now, but we went through the hydration phase way back when, and it was nothing but a plus. I remember I was in high school, we didn't get any water. You get water, you know, and now they have water next to your group works and everything else, which I think is really good.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie on a Thursday. You mentioned some of those momentum-changing type ball games. Do you look at the Michigan game as it's the first Big Ten game of the year? It's also a road game for Nebraska, mm-hmm. and it's right after the Colorado game. But is this Michigan game something that could be pretty important, or is it just more of a gauge, I guess, on how things are at that fourth game of the year?
You know, at this point, I think not knowing the team, but I go back to the same thing that I've always said. They don't have to win the game, but what they have to do is play as hard as they can every play and focus on every play and do everything, you know, as hard as they can. If they win, they're a better team. If they lose, you got beat by a better team.
Okay.
So it's no shame as long as you've done what your part, each player, you know, and I mean play every play. That's not take one off or something like that. You got to go. And I think that's the key to the whole thing of these games. That, you know, you don't get blown out of the tub. That's number one. I mean, I think that is, you know, important. And so those things sometimes are hard to control. It just depends on, you know, they might have some weakness in spots and things like that, which can be, you know, looked at by the other team and attacked. And, you know, I can't give those answers, but there's a lot of reasons why people get blown out, you know, but they stick together is important. That's just the way it is.
Coach, with some of your tough losses, what were some of those reasons? Was it a point of losing to a better team? Because my memory, watching you guys from afar, that you didn't lose often, but when you did, it was to teams that ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, well, that too, but I think a lot of times, you know, some of those games, you know, we made mistake during the game or something like that. And then, and I know the Florida State game at the end when I got a letter, I happened to get a letter from Bobby Bowden after the game when we missed the field goal at the end to win. If you remember, they missed the field goal the year before, which cost them. You know, and so when I got the letter, reminded me of that. But he did say we beat him in every category there was, except the scoreboard, which was true. And so a lot of times you can go to games and get beat. But I think in our case, all the time when we were playing, was a lot of times it was the Miamis and the Florida States and things like that. And the speed factor was a big thing in which we changed. Really worked hard at recruiting kids that had speed. And we tried to, you know, not to take any. Sometimes you really like a kid that's a player at, say, a linebacker position, but you know darn well that he's going to struggle or we're going to struggle if he's a starter for us, you know, speed-wise. We went to the point that everybody was a linebackers were not linebackers in our outside. The only true linebacker we had was our middle linebacker. That was probably what made the difference in our defense.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. How were you able to build Christian's stamina on the field? Because he played quite a few snaps for you his junior and senior year. He got better as the more time he was at Nebraska, but he was also a pretty big guy that needed conditioning. How did you get him into to game mode and game shape?
Christian? You didn't have to talk to him. You just let him go. You know, he was one. He's a super competitive person, and he was a workout freak. He's a gym rat, and you know, he paid a lot of attention to the weight room and followed the program to the inch, and was always in there even on days when they weren't required to be in there. And you find out a lot of guys are in there on those days. The guys that are good players, and it something really means something to them. You know, as far as their strength, they'll be in there on, you know, on other days when, you know, they're not that they're not supposed to be in there, but they're working on other things. Our guys did a lot. Our defensive linemen, for example, they on the days maybe that we were not an official lifting day, they would be in there lifting other weights like dumbbell, a lot of dumbbell exercises, because defensive linemen move their bodies and arms and legs in a different manner than an offensive lineman. So they did a lot of upper body strengthening of the neck and the shoulders and things like that. So a lot of them, you know, will stay with the program. And Christian always, you know, was one of those guys.
Couple more minutes. Charlie McBride's with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie on a Thursday. That stamina is going to be a key point for Nebraska with Coach Frost and what he wants to do offensively and getting into to peak condition to be able to continue to go at a high level. And, Coach, a couple of guys I want your thoughts on here as they're going to be asked to be leaders during this offseason. Luke Gifford's back medically. He's a Lincoln Southeast kid that they moved from safety to outside linebacker. He's been playing ball at 250 pounds. And, of course, Mick in the middle. What are your thoughts on both these Nebraska natives for this year's defense? They're both seniors.
Well, the one thing is they're Nebraska natives, you know, and their blood is really pumping red. So, you know, that's a big, big factor. But, you know, the one thing, you know, about the grade-wise, hey, players look at players not as just athletes and that, but, you know, guys like they are with good grades and getting all kinds of accolades in that manner. And just that's leadership there in itself. I mean, you know, just performing off the field at the college level, that's what you're there for. You play well, you study well, you work hard well, you keep your nose clean on the off the field. And I noticed that, you know, the times we've had some problems, we got to a point where what we did something very, very smart, I think, was have every player put down the 10 things that will make us winners next year. And so some of it, you know, there was always one no incidents off the field or grade wise, and all these they weren't all football. So So, you know, I think that's where Scott knows that. He knows what he's been through that, and I think that he probably might carry on some of that stuff. You know, I know this, they're trying to talk about changing the way the black shirts are and all this, but that's what that's their responsibility. They have to do what they have to do. You know, people have asked me, do I think that's the right thing? And my answer would be probably not, because we did a certain thing and it worked, you know. So, you know, you're going to say, well, ours was lousy. No, you can't say it that way. But I think in some cases, when there maybe only one or two or three guys have black shirts or something, sometimes I think that can cause maybe a little bit of jealousy or something, you know, that somebody thinks they should get one, and it kind of can grind a little bit. So that's the only thing. We talked about that a long time ago, way back when, and felt like, hey, if you made the first team, there was no reason. That was the whole thing about being a black shirt. And I think the other thing is, you know, when I talked to the kids last year when Riley was here, you know, I talked to them about that everybody in this room is a black shirt. I mean, you can't say a guy coming in on second team isn't a black shirt when he's playing in a game. You know, I mean, that's not it. It just happens to be the first team guys that have earned that position, and that's pretty much what it was. We didn't want to make it a big competition between players, one guy having one on the first team and one guy not. You know, that people change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have no qualms about what they're doing. I think, you know, if they do it right, they know what they're doing, and I'll support it.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, and thanks for kind of clarifying your take on it, because Scott's been asked about that. I know we talked about it last week, and we can follow up with it this week, and we did. Did anyone ever come to you? Were they mad, upset, embarrassed that they didn't get one? How did you handle that?
Well, that never really happened. They were afraid of me.
Oh, that's why I'm asking. Did anyone ever come up and just question you?
Well, no. But anytime we had a change, if you go back to the guy that's losing it, those are the guys that need to understand. I've never had a person come to me and said, I deserve a black shirt, you know, or something like that. I've really never had that happen. But we did have more than 11 of them.
Right.
You know, we had guys that, you know, if you have a third down linebacker, you have a, you know, you got a nickel player, you got all these guys that are first team guys. So you're going to have maybe 13, 14 guys with black shirts and stuff like that. But, I don't know. It's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Well, I think your point's well made. You've had some defenses where you had some role guys. That came in, and maybe they didn't get 70 snaps a game, but the 25 they got, they made some hay with it, didn't they?
Right. And I think that it's an interesting thing, because it's a tradition. You know, through the state, it's something through the state that they look forward to. You can see it in the little kids. I mean, you know, I don't know how many letters I have here, notebooks full of letters from kids that were, you know, that are in the elementary school age, and almost every one of them just wants to be a black shirt. You know, and so the tradition of it is as much of a powerful thing around as it is on the team. I mean, it's a state pride thing. Yeah. I think at least it was when we were there, and I don't know what's happened to it since. I know sometimes it's kind of faded. And I know Riley's staff, I don't know how they did it exactly. I never asked them, but a banker called me, I don't know how many times, a couple hours I was on the phone with them one time over how they wanted to do it, how we did it, and I assume that they might have done it that way. I never asked him, you know, and there may have been ways they did it. I know Pelini wanted to do it his own way and didn't want any advice from anybody, and that was the way he did things. Mm. So, but I really think the black shirt thing is a pride thing through the whole state, and kids that deserve it, whether he's given one at a time or 11 at a time or whatever it is, you know, it still means the same thing. Yeah. But like I said, I encourage the team to realize that you're all black shirts, because when the second team guys and the third team guys get to play, anytime you step on that field in a game, you're a black shirt.
Charlie McBride with us. Coach, you have a wonderful weekend. We'll get caught up on Monday. It's going to be June already. We appreciate you so much.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. I'm still moving, even on a Thursday. You'd think I'd be sinking in the West or something by now, but I'm not. Okay. Thanks a lot for having me.
We love Coach McBride, and he's still hiding from his wife and that list of stuff to do. We'll dive in. Team LeBron or the Dubs? Who you got?
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@halevarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Many of our Hail Varsity affiliates also get hooked up with ESPN. And I know in Lincoln, Game one of the finals. You'll hear that coverage coming up a little bit later on tonight. Can tap the line. Chillingbridge Court can tap house. Let's do that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can do that. And also email chris@halevarsity.com. Who you got tonight? Are you excited? You have seen kind of a run of greatness, is how I prefer to look at it, between Alabama and Clemson hooking up. And now you have Golden State and Cleveland with four consecutive finals appearances by both. You need to kind of just step back. It's really not a lot different than Chicago and Utah at the time. It's not much different. I mean, listen, your dream matchup would have been who or what. Well, you just don't have that much balance. You just don't. And the fact Cleveland got through what they got through, this season's incredible. It's miraculous. They'll have Kevin Love tonight. And here's what needs to happen, okay? The eyeballs watching the game sevens between Golden State, between Houston, tons of viewership. Same with game seven between Boston and Cleveland. And with those three games, both game sevens and even game six without Chris Paul, you saw garbage basketball with shots. And it looked like me and Colton, more me out there, shooting threes, just launching from three. Okay? You saw bad basketball. You saw drama, but you saw bad basketball. Will you see great basketball tonight? I think you're going to get the best shot Cleveland will have of the series tonight. Mm-hmm. They get a win, highly unlikely. They'll get some belief, some faith. And this, it's been discussed about, you know, the act of getting a team to the finals. And this is what's too bad about LeBron, is he's getting to the finals. 8 straight years he's gotten to the finals. Mm-hmm. But every time he gets to the finals and doesn't win, he gets penalized. He gets penalized for getting there but not quite finishing the job. Listen, I like Steve Kerr a lot. I really like Klay Thompson's game. I marvel at Curry's ability. KD's phenomenally talented offensively, but he's weak elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And then there's LeBron and everybody else. Do you have a little more respect this year for Cleveland? Do you have a better appreciation for what they did? Or are you hacked because you're a Celtics fan or you're a Philly fan or you like Toronto or you've moved on because the climax of what you wanted to see was going to be Houston and Golden State? Those were the best two teams. Mm-hmm. I think Cleveland can make a game out of this for a while. Here is LeBron responding to, we're back, the dreaded years of the Buffalo Bills making the Super Bowl for 4 straight years. Well, welcome to Cleveland and Golden State, 4 consecutive seasons. LeBron's got an answer for you if you don't like it.
Teams have had their opportunities to beat the Cavs over the last 4 years, and teams have had opportunities to beat the Warriors over the last 4 years. And if you want to see somebody else in the postseason, then you got to beat them.
You do. And LeBron, it'd be nice if you got some help. The conversation has switched to, well, he's got no chance, to, well, at least he got him there. That was impressive. That was good. So this from John Rothstein. We're going to stick with basketball but switch gears. Thank you, Colton. Mm-hmm. Clemson going to host Nebraska in the Big 10 ACC Challenge. That per source from John Rothstein for this season. You always had the Big 10 ACC Challenge. It wasn't that long ago that Nebraska played Clemson. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a good team because Clemson was pretty dynamite this last year in basketball. They were good. Now, Coach Miles said, give us Duke. I think that'd be awesome. It could get really bloody, but this might be the year to take on Duke since they're going to the draft. Their 18-year-olds are better than your 21-year-olds a lot of times. And then you're going to have Oklahoma State. I think Robin Washett reported this. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, Nebraska in South Dakota in Sioux Falls.
They're trying.
They're trying to do that. Yep. Not official yet, but that's
it's
all
close,
good.
Close, I think.
Back to the NBA, though. Are you checked out of the finals, or are you going to watch at least this first game? And if it's compelling, will you follow suit? Is there some exhaustion on your part, a sports fan, because it's the same two teams? And I have no problem with it. This is what you got. I want to see. There's curiosity for me. I want to see if LeBron, he's already been superhuman. I just want to see if he can be superhero.
Yeah.
And pull this off. Because they came from 3-1 down. And correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't have Kyrie 2 years ago. No, he had Kyrie, but he didn't have Love.
He didn't have Kyrie and Love 2015. 2016 was the year they came back from 3-1. And
Kyrie was money.
And Draymond was out for game 5.
Right.
And
teed up.
Last year they were pretty much at even strength, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then this year, this year's completely different for the Cavs.
It's always been different.
I mean, other than KD's not exactly even strength.
KD smoked them. Yeah. it was a good trilogy until KD showed up.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's a good series,
you're going to like check in on it, and if it's compelling, you'll stick it out.
The thing is, it's like, I mean, I'm tired of Alabama and Clemson. I don't know if that's just me, but
well,
the two years
was fun. The 2 years was special.
The third year was kind
of
like
the third year. I mean, you had Deshaun Watson 2 of the 3 years.
Yeah.
Last year, all right, you got it fine, and it wasn't a contest. Boyd is not Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's that, and then it's the fact that I don't know. I didn't like the whole Alabama getting into it, anyways, but.
They're the best team in college football.
And that translates to this. I've been telling people if it was Cavs-Warriors this year, of all 4 years, this is just proof that if you have the best player on your team and mm-hmm. if you have the best team in the NBA, you're making the finals. That's just how it's going to work.
Right.
If we get two more years of this, I don't think anyone should be surprised.
No, this is it.
Yeah.
This will be it. Because
that's the hope.
I
don't think LeBron will be on the Cavs.
I don't think so.
Year,
I don't think so either. He's either going to retire or he'll go to L.A. But they just traded his dudes that he exiled to L.A., didn't they? For a lot of guys?
well, and just kind of the way all the trades have worked, some of the players that he was playing with are
so
in
he's
LA,
moving yeah. away to come home
yeah.
to his teammates.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I think he goes to one of the coasts, probably. A lot of people are saying Philadelphia.
Which
I don't know.
Do you buy that?
Yes and no. I don't know if they have the room for it or what they have to get rid of. Anyone's willing to.
Do you know
make
how
room,
much
but.
Fun? Oh, let's do this. Do you know how much fun Philly? All right, you got JJ there as your 3-point specialist. You got Embiid. You got Simmons.
If Fultz turns out to be anything, maybe
I don't know. But then you add LeBron to that squad against Golden State. I'd be down with that.
Yeah,
I just need a change of venue for LeBron. And again, I give Ty Lue so much credit for getting these guys here. T. Lue sat down with Rachel Nichols, and here's some parts of that interview. And Lue's one of our own. He's a Nebraskan. He's a standout. He's a champion. He's a guy that went through hell this year, and I don't know if it was internal pressure. If it's just dealing with LeBron and the team, the straight up reality of high maintenance. And he made it. There's relief. Because Lou wants to keep coaching. And Lou gets minimal to zero credit when they do well, and gets just pinata'd when they have an off night. And I think he knows basketball. The guy does not, in his career, get signed and start for Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan and Doc Rivers without just being the coolest dude in the room, knowing how to push buttons and juggle. And he is juggling the old, Steve Kerr may be doing wonders with this lineup, with this Golden State lineup. These guys love the style of play. They love to free flow. They love to shoot the three. So they're pretty good. And Steve was there not quite from day one, but he came in and they've thrived. So there's no doubt in Steve Kerr for Golden State. And Lou is the guy that they wanted to replace Blatt. Mm-hmm. And the credibility that Lou has is very high, but there's still so much high maintenance with LeBron. Just the antics. He's super mature dude, and to live up to what he's done, but LeBron's the dude that always wants you to know he is boss. Mm-hmm. And that would be very tough. That would be very tough. And you've just got to placate, because you got an owner and you got a superstar and you got a finals trip. And it's not all on Lou if he's going to end up 1-2 in the finals. You got the one in miraculous fashion. But here is Lou. He really feels awful about missing time like he did.
When you're going through a tough season, a tough stretch, it's very easy for anyone to bow out. And I didn't want to be that guy. It was tough, and LeBron playing all 82 games. I wanted to be able to coach all 82 games and give the team everything they needed.
Well, he wanted to be there. Guy stepped up. Lou is very appreciative of that. He stepped up coming back like he did, listening to the doctors as well to give himself some rest.
When I left in my absence, I thought Larry Drew did a great job. I thought the assistants, Jim Boylan, Long Lombardi, Damon Jones, Phil Handy, James Posey, Vitaly, they all did a great job stepping in my absence. And even throughout the course of the season, just being great for me, for our players, for our team. Our confidence never wavered. We knew it was going to be different. We knew it was going to be a harder path and a harder road. But we stayed the course the whole season. And now we're here again for the fourth straight time.
Some more thoughts from Lou on dealing with the anxiety problem and overcoming it. We'll take a quick timeout. More thoughts here. We'll get into some college football. Great to be with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Spasonline.com, or you can log on the web, Industrial Road in Omaha. Deb, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really doing great. I'm on a little vacation, actually, this week. We're down at the Lake of the Ozarks. So there's still great deals, though, going on without us. I mean, who knows? They've been doing something that is unheard of. They're just not telling us.
You know what? You have amazing deals. I'm sure your friends down in the Ozarks all have hot tubs from Home Innovation Spas because you're an awesome neighbor, and it's time to relax because you guys will play hard and have fun, won't you?
That's right, and every trip down here is a business trip.
That's I love it, Deb. I love it. Well, I got it.
Check on the hot tubs down here.
Well, as big time as a swim spa is, if you could work it out, I'm sure you could water ski on that thing.
Yeah, just about. You really could. They go up as high as 19 feet. So that's a big spa. And it's what that one has, though. It has a separated area. So you've got your swimming area that you can heat to a cooler degree. Then the spa area would be your warmer degrees, so you can adjust that as to whatever season you want.
That is good. And you've had back here in non-Ozark land, because we're not as cool as Deb the Spa Lady, you've had weather where it's time to turn the old temp up. It was, you know, after a rain, it got maybe a little bit chilly. Things cooled down. But you've also had 90s plus where, all right, let's cool it down and soak in the tub a bit.
You know, that is exactly right, because in Nebraska, we have such varied temperatures. We can adjust up or down as to whatever the temperature is outside, and that could change from day to day, almost hour to hour. So a hot tub is a great idea for Nebraska, and you get great, great exercise.
You do. You can go see Deb, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, Industrial Road in Omaha. Spasonline.com is where you log on. And Deb, I know you're doing a little Ozark time right now. You'll be back, maybe. We love you eventually from the Ozarks.
I will.
When can I come back. Right. When can folks come see you? Where can they find you?
We are open 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. So come see us and check out what we have in stock. We're always loaded with spas. We'll get one delivered right away.
Get that swim spa, make it happen. And if you are cool enough to have a spot in the Ozarks, take one down with you from Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa. Deb, enjoy your time down in the Ozarks. Have some barbecue, okay?
I will do it.
Take care.
Okay, Chris.
There she is.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Deb the Spa Lady. Good for her. The Ozarks rock. They're a lot of fun. Let's talk a little Adidas stuff. So Nebraska's 11-year, $128 million apparel deal with Adidas still looks good. And you always had that debate around this time of year, right? Is it time to go to Nike? No, Adidas is sweet. Adidas is thriving. Adidas is super comfortable.
I was going to say, at this point in time, Adidas is only growing in popularity and growing money-wise and being like one of only 19 schools or something like that with Adidas, especially for college football. I mean, you're almost getting an exclusive market.
Well, you are, and more people are jumping on the bandwagon. And this is, Sammy McEwen's got this story from the World Herald. Football Scoop, a site we really like. They do a good job with some coaching info. And quite often, Mike Leach comments. You've had a lot of schools switch companies this past year, 2017 through 2018. In Georgia Tech, Nevada, South Alabama, Southern Miss, Washington, Wyoming, they switched to Adidas. Now, when you look at market share, Nike's still kind of the lead horse in Power 5 schools. Adidas, though, is targeting a ton of schools at the group of five level. And Adidas is, you know, gone after some super, super, super big name teams in the Power Five. It's a quality versus quantity attack. Michigan, Tennessee, UCLA. They've just kind of not been what their blue blood status and history suggest. But you'll take it. Adidas and Louisville, that kind of blew up based on old Slick Rick and what's been going on there. Mm-hmm. But traditionally, Louisville's been really solid with just how good their program's been in basketball and football. I mean, Petrino's, Lamar Jackson, Charlie Strong. I mean, you've had a really good run of Louisville football.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, Adidas is kind of trying to start smaller. And you know, you've got your Arizona States, your Miami, Nebraska. I mean, you've got big names under, I think UCLA is too, they switched to Under Armour, I think from Adidas. So you've got schools like that. So there's enough buzz around it to make them more popular, but they're also at will to give out bigger deals at the moment because Nike's stretched themselves out so thin trying to get as many schools that they can't be as unique on a case-by-case basis.
We talk a lot of timing as well, right? Yeah. Timing's everything. Things needed to line up. Stars needed to align for Scott Frost to get back to Lincoln. Well, if you're Adidas and you're Nebraska, you're thinking dare I say, Sean Eichhorst, that you got this deal done. Because let's ask ourselves this question here about Nike, where they aren't sweetening the pot for many schools. Yeah, Stanford has a good deal because that's where Phil Knight went to grad school. Oregon has a great deal because that's where Phil Knight went to school, the Nike U. And, you know, SC in Texas and Ohio State, right? I mean, those are the monster properties and clients for Nike. Texas, too. But how much value does the relationship have now that Scott Frost is in Lincoln with Nike? And if this deal doesn't get done a year ago or extended at such a high level where Nebraska was the top earner and recipient of payment from Adidas, mm-hmm. you still have that FBI crap going on, okay? Does Nebraska jump ship to Nike because you've got Phil Knight, you have Bill Moose, Washington State's a Nike school. Mm-hmm. Also, you have Scott Frost and his background with Phil Knight. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phil Knight brought Nike to Central Florida. They'd been in an Adidas school, and Central Florida was having to recycle warm-ups, for God's sake, when he got there. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any money. Uncle Phil showed up. Here's a new windbreaker. Here's some pants. Here's some Nike gear. We love you, Scott. Thanks for letting me kick it with you in the press box while you called plays. So this is really big and good for Adidas that they got things done a year ago, because Nebraska could have jumped ship right now. Versus extending it.
Yeah, and I don't think they would have done what Wisconsin did, which was jump to Under Armour.
No, I think Nebraska could have been I think they would have been a Nike team. No question.
Yeah, I don't.
Right now,
I don't think they would jump lower than Adidas. I think they would only jump higher.
I'm just saying, it would have been a no-brainer, and it would have been a sweeter deal for Nebraska, not than what they've got with Adidas per se. But I think the relationship with Frost and Phil would have made things all okay. But Adidas is good stuff, and I think Frost loves him some Yeezys, by the way. We'll wind down a Thursday with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I'm excited. I got the Lincoln Orthopedic open tomorrow, so it's a little breather for me. Colton Stone, Danny Burke, Colton Stone. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. They will rock tomorrow. Probably a Greg Smith sighting. Likely a Bill Dolman sighting. Parker Gabriel? Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, it's a go. It'll be recorded.
Well, lie to me. Tell me he's live.
He'll be live from on his way to a wedding.
That's fine. I want Parker to come on with me.
We'll try to get it hooked up.
You make it happen, Colton.
That's I guess why I'm still there, right?
No, you're good, man. Good stuff. Excited for Colton and Danny, and Danny and Colton. I will be swinging, man.
I'm a little jealous. I haven't played yet.
Well, let me know when you want to go. Do you work this weekend aside from Saturday morning, like me?
I work Sunday night.
Okay, well, let's figure it out. I'll introduce you to Iowa Russ. Takes your money, takes my money.
I don't know if I have any money to give.
That's fine. You can IOU. They're as good as cash. And we'll go swing. We'll go play again. I don't have any baseball this weekend.
Oh, there you go. Free weekend.
It is. Shocking. I'm going to get to Madonna, though. Man, it's been a busy last couple of days. I have not been lifting. I have not been swimming. I am very shameful. But let me tell you about health and fitness and wellness. It's there for you at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. Three pools. The outdoor pool is wonderful. You want to sit in the sun. You want to hear the water flow. You want to cool off when it's hot out. Get a summer membership now, 402-420-0000. Take the tour. You can sit in the sun. You can swim outside. You can swim indoors. And they got the aqua track, too. Lincoln's only indoor aqua track. But get involved with some of their fitness equipment. 130 classes offered each week for you. That's TRX, that's spinning, that's yoga, and that is some hammer strength machines and free weights to get you fired up, get that metabolism going, and summer memberships. You have kids, you have somewhere to burn their energy? Probably not. Take them swimming. Enjoy the outdoors. Enjoy the phenomenal facilities at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Get a tour today. Get that summer membership. 402-420-0000. Okay. We are going to predict what happens tonight. I say the Cavs put a monster scare into Golden State somehow, some way. But I think the Warriors win. They do not cover. Give me 110 to 100. Warriors take game one, series over.
Is that a 12-point underdog? Is that
it's
what
up
it
to
is?
13.
It is 13. I think they cover.
You think it's like back and forth and then they just kind of drop the hammer?
I think it's they'll go on one of their inevitable third quarter runs.
Avalanche,
probably.
Sure.
119 to 99, somewhere in that range, right. Probably.
Okay.
But I don't know. If the Cavs can, this would be the game to take advantage of.
You've got
with
it.
No Iguodala, so.
You got to do it. We'll see what Bron does. He has been able to avoid the bad game that every other superstar has had. Colton, you're awesome. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity. We'll catch up with you tomorrow at 4, and then the weekend edition. I'll be back at it. Take care. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.